from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Live from the Northern Kia Studios, it is a Sunday morning. It is the Hour of Football, Church of Football Hour on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Phone lines open at 404-726-0929. If you want to be part of the program, you can jump in here. Braves and Falcons, kind of the big talking points today. I don't ever limit you if you want to jump in on college football as we count down to opening day in camps with the SEC Media Days beginning tomorrow. Again, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Be interested from a Georgia fan's perspective is how does Kirby Smart finally handle this? He's going to be asked about it. It's going to be the big topic for him. How does he deal with this? How does he deal with all the street racing? You know, what can he really do? Because I'm at a loss as to what he can do. For the same reason that Mike Gundy, the Oklahoma State coach, when he didn't penalize his superstar running back, Ollie Gordon, for DUI and underage drinking, and dismissed it and said it was basically, hey, I've done it 1,000 times, and everybody got on Mike Gundy. You have to understand there are two things that right now in college football that happen to be true. One is it's the wild, wild west, and there's no governing body. There's no governing body. Nobody could tell Mike Gundy or Kirby Smart or anybody what to do. There's no governing body. And because the NCAA has zero, basically, to do with it anymore. And number two is that the players have all the control. Because of the portal, the players have all the control. Because if Mike Gundy says to Ollie Gordon, who ran for over 1,700 yards and 21 touchdowns last year, is the leading running back of the nation returning, says, hey, Mr. Star running back that's going to help me win my games, because you had this underage DUI, I'm going to suspend you for 4 games. And Ollie Gordon says, no, you're not. And coach says, yeah, I am. And Ollie goes, you know what, I quit, and walks out. You know, because that's what I'll have. Ollie's like, yeah, I don't need to play. I'll just save myself. You know, I mean, so that's how these players, you know, what do? You get the 5-star and you say, I'm suspending you for 3 games. The 5-star says, yeah, portal's looking pretty good. Bye, coach. I mean, you know, this is the problem with this. I mean, right now you've given these players, this is why there's got to be some organization that's got to form here to set rules. Okay. Been trying to tell everybody, oh, no, it's okay. I'm like, no, it's not really okay. So let's set some rules. All right. So to the Braves. Braves, the question for you, best and worst from the air quotes first half of the season. And the Falcons question is biggest thing to watch in camp / preseason. Tomahawken is somebody that tweets me a lot on the X, and I encouraged him to call into the show, and he has, to talk a little bit. He's a huge Braves fan. Tomahawken, what is shaking?
Hey, Freaky. Hey, man. Best of the first half, Sale, Raylo, Doway moves that went pretty much unnoticed in all season. Both have panned out. Like, I mean, you know, that's why I say Doway we trust. The pen has been solid. You know, they had one bad game the other night, but, man, they've been solid all year. And Marcel, without that pen and rotation, this is probably a bottom-blowing team with the Marlins. The worst of the Braves right now, this is offense. It's so frustrating to watch. I thought they turned the cover. I thought they turned the corner last weekend with the statement series against Philly, then Arizona winning the first two, and then they laid eggs the last two games in Arizona. On the short term, this is like you said, this is a 500 team, especially with this offense. But the thing is, what worries the hell out of me on the macro part, this offense with the doctored baseballs by Manfred in the postseason in the cooler weather, we're gonna get one of those nasty streaks where everybody goes into a funk.
So what do you do about it? I mean, at this point, Alex Anthopoulos, the relaxers might say, like Snit of Duvall and Rosario, yeah, Michael's going to be back, and you know those guys are professional.
Yeah, with Michael though, you know he's not to revamp like as if he's coming back on spring training because you know after being out that long, it's going to take him a good while to get back into form. You know he's not going to come in and banging it like people think he is because I mean hell, he's out like damn near 2 months, and nobody thought that injury was going to be coming.
I agree. I mean. That's why I'm saying, that's why I'm asking you, what do you think he does? We got a couple of weeks before the trade deadline here.
Well, the thing is,
and
you know
that there were some rumors about starting pitcher. He's got to go out and make a move for a big hitting corner outfielder, correct?
I agree. I totally agree because we got three guys in the lineup, too. And this is the frustrating part about this offense is they have struck out, like I want to say, like 20% more than they did last year. And a lot of those are uncompetitive at bats. But I think Double A, I trust him. He's going to make a move that nobody's talking about because, I mean, he knows this World Series is a bust for a lot of the fan base out here. And, you know, so there's Bobby Light. He is what he is, but there's no way he's getting fired. You know, I'm guilty of getting mad, you know, after games, you know, living with the SEC football attitude, watching the games. I get mad and off my hinges, but firing Snit is not going to do anything. The people who want him fired, who are you going to replace him with? Same with Seitzer. Seitzer is far away from the issue.
Yeah, no, well, they're not going to fire him. I mean, they're just not. I mean, yeah. Alex Anthopoulos is not firing Brian Snicker, not now, not next year, not the year after. If he fails this year and they fail next year and they fail the year after, okay.
Dinner,
or even if it fails really bad next year, but we're at least at a minimum, we're looking at the end of the 2025 season, more like the end of the 2026 season. And if they have some success in there, again, Brian Snicker could be the manager till 2030, but when he finally retires. And that's what I would actually probably put my money on.
Yeah.
But all right, we'll see what happens
about
here.
The Falcons, Ricky, you know, as we've seen on Twitter, you know, my biggest question is that defense because – especially the cornerbacks, they had as many interceptions last year as you and I, zero. So I'm going to be mad and livid if we lose games because we can't get a pass rush, you know, when they let Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell go. I'm going to be mad if we continue to lose games 37-34 because we can't stop a drive in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and they didn't at the end of the year. I mean, there were a lot of frustrating things. Do appreciate it, Tomahawk, and thanks. You know what's so interesting, again, with that defense, if you think about kind of what they were susceptible to in terms of how they got, you know, taking away the, you know, the end of the season, I really think that the pass by Ritter in Carolina in the rain in front of, you know, the COVID crowd with nobody there was the worst pass I've ever seen a Falcons quarterback make, and I think that was the moment because the players all kind of knew that Arthur Smith was going to get fired, that they sort of checked out. I'm not going to say they quit, but from that point on to through the New Orleans game, it was just like, okay, you know, I think it was a lot of checkout time that happened there, and when you check out, it's hard to get back into the flow of things, But what was interesting to me was how they got killed last year. It wasn't necessarily the fault of the cornerbacks not covering people. There were it was a really bad blown play by Richie Grant in the game against Detroit. But it was that they couldn't stop a quarterback from running. It was Justin Fields, you know, with his legs in Chicago. It was Josh Dobbs in Minnesota with his legs. It was, you know, Kyler Murray and his legs. It was the legs that they couldn't, you know, it was not containing. And the inability to contain running quarterbacks was what really led to a lot of the problems. But, again, none of that matters if you score 10 points a game more. I mean, none of it matters. Everybody wants more sacks, but more sacks is not the stat that I care about. More touchdowns, that's the stat I care about. If they score more touchdowns, they'll get more sacks because they'll be ahead in the fourth quarter and they will make their opponents one-dimensional and the quarterbacks won't be so much running. They'll be trying to throw, and as a result, what will happen? Oh, that's right, more sacks. So more sacks will come. And look, it's no surprise that the best teams in the NFL tend to lead in sacks because they tend to be ahead in the fourth quarter. You know, I would love to see a breakdown of sacks per quarter by team. I think if somebody did a next-gen stat on that, I think you would find the teams like the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Niners, that their sacks per quarter go up in the fourth quarter. Why? Because they're ahead. Because they make the other team one-dimensional. Oh, wow, look, they average more sacks per fourth quarter. Okay, yeah, that's exactly right. So, but that does not diminish, again, the concerns that I think all of us share here, no matter what they say. Now, could DeMarco Helms take another big step up this year? Could Richie Grant kind of find his game? Is, you know, Dee Alford being back kind of in the good graces here? Clark Phillips going to take a big step here? I think we all have secondary questions. Aside from Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell, we all have, and by the way, there's a decision they're going to have to make in regards to A.J. Terrell and his long-term future here after this season. So, there's a lot of decisions they have to make about that secondary. But one of the things that they're looking at is they, I think, still need to be in the market. I know that Xavien Howard's out there, and some people are saying, well, you know, he's going to go to this team or that team. I don't know why you wouldn't swim in the waters. I mean, they can create the money. Look, if they need to create the money to go get a star in the secondary, they can create the money to go get a star in the secondary. They just can. I mean, they can create some money to go get a star in the secondary. They can figure that out. You know, those capologists can figure all of it out. And the question becomes, you know, because you just so much rolls into a signing bonus and blah, 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 right? So they'll figure that part out. The question is, do they want to make that move? And the fact that they haven't done it and we're 10 days away from camp is, you know, maybe they're trying. Maybe Terry Fontenot's trying. I would assume he is. They're certainly keeping their ears and their antenna up to be able to improve that secondary. But again, it's entirely possible that they look at the secondary and go, no, you know what, we're fine. And there's another area, too, that I kind of want to focus on, and that's going to be wide receiver. Because outside of Drake and Kyle, they don't have a whole lot of height. Casey Washington, the new guy from Illinois, is like 6'1", 6'2". Mooney's like 6'1", 6'1". So there's not another big out there, and I would really like to have another big, you know, and like Russell Gage could be available. How healthy he is after missing all last year, I don't know. But that would be something interesting because, again, Rondale Moore, Ray-Ray McCloud, who are going to be kind of your slot guys. They're both really little guys. They're tiny guys. They're like 5'8". I mean, but they can both scoot. And again, I am going to make a couple of predictions here before the season begins. I've already started to make a few in regards to the Atlanta Falcons. One is that I'm going to go out and make the big prediction is that Raheem Morris will be the head coach of this team for over a decade. And that's prediction number one, that I think they finally found their guy. And number two is that there are going to be certain players on this team you fall in love with. One of those players will be Rondale Moore. You're going to really like, you're not saying his name now, you will be saying his name. You go, man, that dude, he's a handful. Because they just, you know, they fake right, go left, and all Kirk Cousins has to do is get the ball out of his hands and put that guy in space, and he's sort of like Bijan. He's just like, whiff, 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 and he's gone. And so they've got a couple of guys that are like that. Ray-Ray can be the same way, too. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm talking myself into the season, as you can tell. So, see, isn't that the difference between the Braves and the Falcons right now? The Falcons haven't done squat in 7 years, right? The Braves have won a World Series. They've been to, you know, won the division. They've been to an NLCS more, you know, and then they've won the division every year. And they're still in the playoff hunt, 10 games over 500. I'm sort of down in the mouth about the Braves and really excited about the Falcons. Okay, you walk me through that. How I talked myself into that one, I don't know. I haven't talked myself into being excited about the Hawks yet. I want to. I'm still, and the reason I haven't is since they have yet to commit, even though I think they'll have Trey on the team, since they've yet to commit to Trey being on the team, because they haven't committed to Trey being on the team, because nobody said, yes, Trey's our guy. The coach hasn't said it. The GM hasn't said it. The owner hasn't said it. Nobody has said and come out and said, yes, Trey is our guy. Trey hasn't said it. Nobody said it, which is a little distressing to me because it should be a pretty simple thing to say, right? If it's true, it should be a pretty simple thing to say. Hey, Trey's our guy. Nobody said that. I don't know why. You tell me. You figure it out. But they haven't said it. Trey hasn't said it. Quinn hasn't said it. Landry hasn't said it. Russell hasn't said it. Nobody has said, This team is Trey's team. We're building around Trey. Nope. They haven't even said Trey's even on the team. Did you notice that? So I'm
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Preserving judgment on the Hawks. I don't know where they're going with this. I guess we'll figure it out over the course of the summer. But I am excited about the Falcons. I want to remain optimistic about the Braves. My biggest form of optimism about the Braves is that Alex Anthopoulos is he's a god when it comes to being an executive, okay? I believe firmly he's the best, I've said it before, best sports executive working in the world today. And I mean that literally. I wouldn't trade him for any other sports, in any other sport, in any other league on the entire planet. He's that good. So that's why the Braves have been so successful, because of that dude. As Tomahawken just said, did you have Chris Sale and Jared Kelnick as being kind of the lead guys? You know, just saying. 404-726-0929. Biggest thing to watch for in camp preseason of the Falcons, and what's the best and worst in the Braves so far this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a busy Sunday. Wimbledon men's final going on right now over in England, and Carlos Alcaraz just had triple championship point on Joker, and who managed to get it back to deuce here. So we'll see if Alcaraz can put Joker away or not. And we'll keep you up to date on that. It is a big day for soccer fans with UEFA final today, Spain and England at 3 o'clock. The Copa final is tonight at 8, Argentina against Colombia. The UEFA finals in Berlin and the Copa finals in Miami. We're talking about the Braves and the Falcons, though you are more than welcome to jump into the conversation about if you want to talk about the Hawks, if you want to talk about college football. We have SEC Media Days coming up tomorrow. And two SEC Media Days. Again, the Braves conversation, 404-726-0929. What's the best thing you saw in the first half? What's the worst thing you saw in the first half? And the Falcons is the biggest thing to watch for in camp or preseason. We've talked a little bit about the new quarterback room. Is it the new coaches and the new schemes? Are you going to be watching for that? Is it the impact of the new players, the draft picks, and some of the players they picked up? Or is it, like we mentioned right before the break, some of the holes that exist on this team and how they fill those holes, or at least the holes that we perceive them to have, especially when it comes to the defense and especially when it comes to the defensive secondary? If you start looking out, this is going to be a very busy week ahead. We have the All-Star Game. The Major League Draft again is tonight. Charlie Condon to Georgia could go number one. Braves will have the 24th pick. Then we're going to get into the All-Star festivities. And then from there, we're going to roll right into the British Open. If you're a golf fan, that's going to be coming up this week. And yes, we got the Olympics around the corner. Camps are going to be opening up. The first full camp will open this week in the NFL. There is an awful, awful lot going on. Camps are already open. The first camp has already opened up. The Baltimore Ravens have opened up. Houston Texans will become the first team to have a full camp open up this coming Wednesday. And the Falcons will open up with rookies and veterans on the 24th ahead of their preseason opener on August 9th against the Miami Dolphins. And yes, they're going to have one of those combined practice things against the Dolphins prior to that game. I don't know how much this year we're going to see Kirk Cousins in the preseason. We may not see him at all. That's a little distressing to me. I'd like to see him come out and get at least a series or two in, at the very least, before the opener against Pittsburgh. But You know, a lot of coaches will tell you they put more stock into combined practices than they do into preseason games, because the point of preseason games, at least at the beginning, is to try to cut players down and cut the roster down, and you're not so much making decisions about the number one unit as you are making decisions about who's going to be on the practice squad, on the 53-man, on the 48, you know, so, I mean, on all those, kind of how you stack the team. So, in that regard, I understand as well. Will the Falcons go out and make a move here? Will the Braves make a move here? Will the Hawks make a move here? Isn't it interesting that all, because now United's been making moves. They've been selling everybody that was any good. That was proof last night when they got shut out with no shots on goal. But the other teams, I mean, yes, there was a, you know, of course, a moment where, you know, the Hawks made a move with, you know, A.J. Griffin to get back into the draft for Juricic, pardon me. And, of course, the big trade with DeJounte. But will the Braves make a move? Yes, they'll make a move before the end of the month. I'm pretty sure of that. Will the Falcons make a move? I don't know. I don't know that they'll make a move. I don't know if they'll go into free agency. And they may try and pick up a veteran that's been cut by somebody else. I don't know how they're going to play this, how Jimmy Lake is going to kind of look at this. And remember that Raheem Morris has, you know, solid and lengthy history as an assistant on both sides of the ball. So he's going to have an impact on both the offense with Zach Robinson and on the defense with Jimmy Lake. And we're going to have to trust their eyes. But again, we don't know what the scheme is, too. And so that's going to be important to keep in mind here. You know, are they going to play base dime? Are they going to play base nickel? And 3-4 flex? I guess it really kind of depends on what quarterback you're playing. Because any more defenses in the NFL are not like, okay, we play this defense regardless. That's not the way it works. It's down, it's distance, it's who you're playing, it's what they call, and your defense becomes more. Offense tends to be, this is what we do. But defenses tend to be interchangeable flex defenses, and that's really true throughout the entire NFL. So I don't put a whole lot of thing, well, they're a 4-3 or 3-4. Hey, they shift into whatever they need to shift into, depending on the situation and who they're playing, right? So I don't really put a whole lot of stock into kind of base defenses, but some people do. 404-726-0929 if you want to be part of the program and weigh in on this Sunday. When you do call in, I say we can disagree without being disagreeable, and we have a conversation. I know that Angelo wanted to call in, ask a question, and hang up. Please allow me to ask you a question if you're going to ask me one. Or I've asked you a few questions here, and I'm willing to wait for you to kind of weigh in here. Let's go to Chuck. He's on with John. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
Hey, yeah. You still there?
Yeah, I'm listening, Chuck.
Yeah, just quickly on the Braves. I've been watching them since 1966. First game I went to was Koufax versus LeMaster. Worst from last year. There's a tremendous drop-off in production from the offensive leaders of last year. I mean, not half of what they did last year. The best? Yeah, we're 10 games up despite that lack of offense. Now, can I make a quick Duff comment?
Sure. Yes.
Not hearing. But Duff comment?
Yes, Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. This might come across as a little snobbish, but golf is not a verb. You will hear an accomplished player say, "I golfed yesterday." Just like you won't hear anybody say, "I tennised yesterday, I footballed yesterday." No, you played yesterday. So, it grates on my ears. Enough said about that.
Okay. I appreciate that, Chuck. the little pet peeves that people have. Yes, you know. Do you play golf? Yes, I went golfing. Do you play tennis? Yes, I went tennising. Okay, fine. You know, I mean,
I had a good golf yesterday. It was a wonderful golf.
You know, I mean, okay. If that's your big concern in sports, then you know what? Your life's pretty good.
I'm about to say, yeah, those are good problems.
Nouns, verbs. I mean, that's where. Okay, that's our big concern. Which, and fine, I understand. I mean, people, you know, they get into their feels about certain things, and look, I do too. I have my petty little feels too. So, and Chuck is not unique in that. I have things that just kind of drive me nutty when it comes to certain things. It's like, you know, especially when it came to the way things were phrased, because I've been in the media my whole life. You know, when people say things like "irregardless," ay, there's no such word as "irregardless." You know, it's just regardless, but whatever. 404-726-0929 is the phone number. We're looking at the Braves and the Falcons today. So what do you think, Eric? What is the biggest thing that you're going to be watching for in camp or in the preseason? Is it the new coaches and schemes? Is it the new quarterback room? Is it the impact of the new players, the draft picks and the new players they picked up? Or is it the how they handle what we perceive to be the holes, especially on the defense?
Well, it's the new schemes. I want to see this offense. I want to see this offense clicking. I want to see this offense having big plays. You said a couple weeks ago, how many big plays does Bijan have over 40 yards this season? I want to see explosiveness and these 10, 12 extra points a game. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, me too. I think I would agree with you on that point. To me, it is the new schemes and the new coaches. And because all of it plays into that. Is there a new blocking scheme? See, we don't know yet. We haven't seen them on the field. They've gone through mini camp, but, you know, they're not really hitting anybody. And we won't really even see it in camp so much. I mean, because the install, see, the way camp works, for those of you who have never been or don't know, is that with the media is that you have to turn the cameras off at some point, you know, and sometimes they just simply kick the media out if they're going into install. And so when they're going through install, sometimes we don't even see it, and sometimes if we do see it, we can't take any pictures of it. And so what are they going to be doing? What are the schemes going to be looking at? And a lot of it, of course, in preseason is going to be basic stuff, running just kind of, you know, basic base plays. So we won't really see the playbook until we get to the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We won't really see it in person. So we'll come out against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the opening day, and Joe and Harper and I would do Wade Ford. We'll lead you to the pregame show, right? And then Wes and Dave and everybody will be doing the game. And as we do that, one of the things we're going to be talking about on the opening day against Pittsburgh is what are we going to see in terms of how this offense is going to operate? We'll get hints from camp. We'll get hints from preseason. But again, if Kirk Cousins isn't playing much, what if he plays none of preseason? It'll all be kind of new because they'll do it in a different fashion with Kirk Cousins than we do with Michael Penix, because Kirk will check in a different way that Michael Penix doesn't check, right? And so it'll look a little bit different. One of the great things about a veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins, these so-called elite processors, is, you know, and it's no offense that DoorDash Dez or Marcus Mariota, just they weren't really capable of doing that. They come up to the line and they see the defense, right? They call a play, the defense then checks in, and it's like a chess game. Then he will, you know, the great quarterbacks will then counter the chess move. Okay, they checked it. They just moved from this to this and slid the safety over. They'll see a safety slide, and they instantly know what the defense is going to be, you know, what the defensive set's going to be versus your offensive set, and you can check into a play where suddenly somebody goes into motion because you're going to drag that safety to the other side of the field and then come back across, right? I mean, this is the chess game that goes on with a great veteran quarterback, because the great veteran quarterback can manipulate the field to get the best possible matchup to be able to have success on the play, correct? So that's how this works. That's what they're talking about when they're talking about an elite processor, is somebody that can check into a play and then execute the play and put yourself in a position where you can have the most success. And in doing so, there's going to be a scheme issue with this, okay? And the scheme issue is going to be, A, what's the blocking assignment on how they're going to block? Because if they go back to more of a zone blocking scheme, which I think they're going to, I think one of the reasons Charlie Werner's on this team and Jonnu Smith is not, is that I think they want a zone block. If they zone block, that's going to be cutback lanes. Okay, and that's what we did in 2016. I got a mouse in my pocket. That's Tevin Coleman, cut back, put your foot in the ground and go. And so I think that's what you'll see with Bijan too, is you'll see a lot of cutback blocking, you know, and so he finds that little crease and he could go, and that's where I think you'll see some really big plays. Let's go to our old buddy Mel, because we got to get Mel into the show, because Mel is a character anyway. He's like, it'd be like, Mel, you would be, if we rolled credits at the end of the show, you would be in the show credits. You know that,
you
right?
You know what, John? You're the expert. You know what I mean? I'm not. You know, I'm just a fan. You know, I've been in this city all my life with all these so-called professional teams. But you know what? Didn't the Packers draft a defensive end from Washington along with, you know, with the
yes.
quarterback?
Yes.
Okay. Now look. I'm gonna say this. I go back to a lot of HBU schools that got Hall of Fames everywhere, especially Pittsburgh. Look here. That's what I want to see. I ain't worrying about the offense. I want to see the players that they got defense, especially the one from Washington, and plus the other one. I don't know where the other one come from. But let's see when they preseason. I want to see how they play. I'm not worried about the offense. I'm not worried about the zone blocking and so forth, John. The Falcons could be okay. I know how it is. You got to talk about it. But, you know, I'm just saying.
Mel, it's what there were four things I wrote down here, and you're just picking up on one of the four. What's the biggest thing you were looking for in camp and preseason? Is it the new coaches and the schemes? That's one. Is it the new quarterback room? It's two. Is it the holes that, you know, we think they have, how they show up and how they're short up on the defensive side?
What are you talking about?
Or the cornerback safety, for example. Or is the impact of the...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is a busy Sunday. Wimbledon men's final going on right now over in England. And Carlos Alcaraz just had triple championship point on Joker, and who managed to get it back to deuce here. So we'll see if Alcaraz can put Joker away or not. And we'll keep you up to date on that. It is a big day for soccer fans with UEFA final today, Spain and England at 3 o'clock. The Copa final is tonight at 8, Argentina against Colombia. The UEFA finals in Berlin and the Copa finals in Miami. We're talking about... the Braves and the Falcons, though you are more than welcome to jump into the conversation about if you want to talk about the Hawks, if you want to talk about college football. We have SEC Media Days coming up tomorrow. And two SEC Media Days. Again, the Braves conversation, 404-726-0929. What's the best thing you saw in the first half? What's the worst thing you saw in the first half? And the Falcons is the biggest thing to watch for in camp or preseason. We've talked a little bit about the new quarterback room. Is it the new coaches and the new schemes? Are you going to be watching for that? Is it the impact of the new players, the draft picks, and some of the players they picked up? Or is it, like we mentioned right before the break, some of the holes that exist on this team and how they fill those holes, or at least the holes that we perceive them to have, especially when it comes to the defense and especially when it comes to the defensive secondary? If you start looking out, this is going to be a very busy week ahead. We have the All-Star Game. The Major League Draft again is tonight. Charlie Condon to Georgia could go number one. Braves will have the 24th pick. Then we're going to get into the All-Star festivities. And then from there, we're going to roll right into the British Open. If you're a golf fan, that's going to be coming up this week. And yes, we got the Olympics around the corner. Camps are going to be opening up. The first full camp will open this week in the NFL. There is an awful, awful lot going on. Camps are already open. The first camp has already opened up. The Baltimore Ravens have opened up. Houston Texans will become the first team to have a full camp open up this coming Wednesday. And the Falcons will open up with rookies and veterans on the 24th ahead of their preseason opener on August 9th against the Miami Dolphins. And yes, they're going to have one of those combined practice things against the Dolphins prior to that game. I don't know how much this year we're going to see Kirk Cousins in the preseason. We may not see him at all. That's a little distressing to me. I'd like to see him come out and get at least a series or two in, at the very least, before the opener against Pittsburgh. But And, you know, a lot of coaches will tell you they put more stock into combined practices than they do into preseason games, because the point of preseason games, at least at the beginning, is to try to cut players down and cut the roster down, and you're not so much making decisions about the number one unit as you are making decisions about who's going to be on the practice squad, on the 53-man, on the 48, you know, so, I mean, on all those, kind of how you stack the team. So, in that regard, I understand as well. Will the Falcons go out and make a move here? Will the Braves make a move here? Will the Hawks make a move here? Isn't it interesting that all, because now United's been making moves. They've been selling everybody that was any good. That was proof last night when they got shut out with no shots on goal. But the other teams, I mean, yes, there was a, you know, of course, a moment where, you know, the Hawks made a move with, you know, A.J. Griffin to get back into the draft for Juricic, pardon me. And, of course, the big trade with DeJounte. But will the Braves make a move? Yes, they'll make a move before the end of the month. I'm pretty sure of that. Will the Falcons make a move? I don't know. I don't know that they'll make a move. I don't know if they'll go into free agency. And they may try and pick up a veteran that's been cut by somebody else. I don't know how they're going to play this, how Jimmy Lake is going to kind of look at this. And remember that Raheem Morris has, you know, solid and lengthy history as an assistant on both sides of the ball. So he's going to have an impact on both the offense with Zach Robinson and on the defense with Jimmy Lake. And we're going to have to trust their eyes. But again, we don't know what the scheme is, too. And so that's going to be important to keep in mind here. You know, are they going to play base dime? Are they going to play base nickel? And 3-4 flex? I guess it really kind of depends on what quarterback you're playing. Because any more defenses in the NFL are not like, okay, we play this defense regardless. That's not the way it works. It's down, it's distance, it's who you're playing, it's what they call, and your defense becomes more. Offense tends to be, this is what we do. But defenses tend to be interchangeable flex defenses, and that's really true throughout the entire NFL. So I don't put a whole lot of thing, well, they're a 4-3 or 3-4. Hey, they shift into whatever they need to shift into, depending on the situation and who they're playing, right? So I don't really put a whole lot of stock into kind of base defenses, but some people do. 404-726-0929 if you want to be part of the program and weigh in on this Sunday. When you do call in, I say we can disagree without being disagreeable, and we have a conversation. I know that Angelo wanted to call in, ask a question, and hang up. Please allow me to ask you a question if you're going to ask me one, or I've asked you a few questions here, and I'm willing to wait for you to kind of weigh in here. Let's go to Chuck. He's on with John. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
Hey, yeah. You still there?
Yeah, I'm listening, Chuck.
Yeah, just quickly on the Braves. I've been watching them since 1966. First game I went to was Koufax versus LeMaster. Best from worst from last year. There's a tremendous drop off in production from the offensive leaders of last year. I mean, not half of what they did last year. The best, yeah, we're 10 games up despite that lack of offense. Now, can I make a quick Duff comment?
Sure. Yes.
Not hearing. My Duff comment?
Yes, Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. This might come across as a little snobbish, but golf is not a verb. You will hear an accomplished player say, "I golfed yesterday." Just like you won't hear anybody say, "I tennis yesterday, I football yesterday." No, you played yesterday. So, be grace on my ears. Enough said about that.
Okay. I appreciate that, Chuck. the little bet beefs that people have. Yes, you know. Do you play golf? Yes, I went golfing. Do you play tennis? Yes, I went tennising. Okay, fine. You know, I mean,
I had a good golf yesterday. It was a wonderful golf.
You know, I mean, okay. If that's your big concern in sports, then you know what? Your life's pretty good.
I was about to say, yeah, those are good problems.
Nouns, verbs, I mean, that's our big concern, which, and fine, I understand. I mean, people, you know, they get into their feels about certain things, and look, I do too. I have my petty little feels too. So, and Chuck is not unique in that. I have things that just kind of drive me nutty when it comes to certain things. It's like, you know, especially when it came to the way things were phrased, because I've been in the media my whole life, you know, when people say things like irregardless, ay, there's no such word as irregardless. You know, it's just regardless, but whatever. 404-726-0929 is the phone number. We're looking at the Braves and the Falcons today. So what do you think, Eric? What is the biggest thing that you're going to be watching for in camp or in the preseason? Is it the new coaches and schemes? Is it the new quarterback room? Is it the impact of the new players, the draft picks and the new players they picked up? Or is it the how they handle what we perceive to be the holes, especially on the defense?
Well, it's the new schemes. I want to see this offense. I want to see this offense clicking. I want to see this offense having big plays. You said a couple weeks ago, how many big plays does Bijan have over 40 yards this season? I want to see explosiveness and these 10, 12 extra points a game. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, me too. I think I would agree with you on that point. To me, it is the new schemes and the new coaches. And because all of it plays into that. Is there a new blocking scheme? See, we don't know yet. We haven't seen them on the field. They've gone through mini camp, but, you know, they're not really hitting anybody. And we won't really even see it in camp so much. I mean, because the install, see, the way camp works, for those of you who have never been or don't know, is that with the media is that you have to turn the cameras off at some point, you know, and sometimes they just simply kick the media out if they're going into install. And so when they're going through install, sometimes we don't even see it, and sometimes if we do see it, we can't take any pictures of it. And so what are they going to be doing? What are the schemes going to be looking at? And a lot of it, of course, in preseason is going to be basic stuff, running just kind of, you know, basic base plays. So we won't really see the playbook until we get to the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We won't really see it in person. So we'll come out against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the opening day, and Joe and Harper and I would do Wade Ford. We'll lead you to the pregame show, right? And then Wes and Dave and everybody will be doing the game. And as we do that, one of the things we're going to be talking about on the opening day against Pittsburgh is what are we going to see in terms of how this offense is going to operate? We'll get hints from camp. We'll get hints from preseason. But again, if Kirk Cousins isn't playing much, what if he plays none of preseason? It'll all be kind of new because they'll do it in a different fashion with Kirk Cousins than we do with Michael Penix, because Kirk will check in a different way that Michael Penix doesn't check, right? And so it'll look a little bit different. One of the great things about a veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins, these so-called elite processors, is, you know, and it's no offense that DoorDash Dez or Marcus Mariota, just they weren't really capable of doing that. They come up to the line and they see the defense, right? They call a play, the defense then checks in, and it's like a chess game. Then he will, you know, the great quarterbacks will then counter the chess move. Okay, they checked it. They just moved from this to this and slid the safety over. They'll see a safety slide, and they instantly know what the defense is going to be, you know, what the defensive set's going to be versus your offensive set, and you could check into a play where suddenly somebody goes into motion because you're going to drag that safety to the other side of the field and then come back across, right? I mean, this is the chess game that goes on with a great veteran quarterback, because the great veteran quarterback can manipulate the field to get the best possible matchup to be able to have success on the play, correct? So that's how this works. That's what they're talking about when they're talking about an elite processor, is somebody that can check into a play and then execute the play and put yourself in a position where you can have the most success. And in doing so, there's going to be a scheme issue with this, okay? And the scheme issue is going to be, A, what's the blocking assignment on how they're going to block? Because if they go back to more of a zone blocking scheme, which I think they're going to, I think one of the reasons Charlie Werner's on this team and Jonnu Smith is not, is that I think they want a zone block. If they zone block, that's going to be cutback lanes, okay? And that's what we did in 2016. Like I got a mouse in my pocket. That's Tevin Coleman, cutback, put your foot in the ground and go. And so I think that's what you'll see with Bijan too, is you'll see a lot of cutback blocking, you know, and so he finds that little crease and he could go, and that's where I think you'll see some really big plays. Let's go to our old buddy Mel, because we got to get Mel into the show, because Mel is a character anyway. He's like, it'd be like, Mel, you would be, if we rolled credits at the end of the show, you would be in the show credits. You know that,
you
right?
You know what, John? You're the expert. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know, I'm just a fan, you know. I've been in this city all my life with all these so-called professional teams. But, you know what? Didn't the Packers draft a defensive end from Washington along with, you know, with the quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, now look. I'm going to say this. I
I go back to a lot of HBU schools that got Hall of Fames everywhere, especially Pittsburgh. Look here. That's what I want to see. I ain't worrying about the offense. I want to see the players that they got defense, especially the one from Washington, and plus the other one. I don't know where the other one come from. But let's see when they're preseason. I want to see how they play. I'm not worried about the offense. I'm not worried about the zone blocking and so forth, John. The Falcons could be okay. I know how it is. You got to talk about it. But, you know, I'm just saying.
ML, it's what there were four things I wrote down here, and you're just picking up on one of the four. What's the biggest thing you were looking for in camp and preseason? Is it the new coaches and the schemes? That's one. Is it the new quarterback room? It's two. Is it the holes that, you know, we think they have, how they show up and how they're short up on the defensive side?
What holes are you talking about?
Or the cornerback safety, for example. Or is the impact of the new players, the draft picks and the new receivers, for example, that they picked up and how they're going to impact the team? I mean,
I was saying about the draft choice. I want to see how he functions. I want to see. I'm not worried. But I want to see how the new players that we have got in the draft. I ain't worried about going out and get them bombs to come in and play for the Falcons. I'm worried about the players that we have in the draft, John. That's the thing. That's the main thing.
I'm interested, too. I want to see him, too. I'm very intrigued.
So we don't need to go out and get a defensive end and another cornerback. Let's see what we have. That's what the preseason for.
That's fine, Mel. I mean, yeah, I appreciate it, Mel. As always, like I said, Mel would be, he'd be like, you know, it get to like the third page where they put like three names up, you know what I mean? You know, starring and then, you know, co-starring, and then you get to like the third page.
Special guest appearances by Mel from Southwest Atlanta. in addition to Mel from Southwest Atlanta.
What are you looking for most? I gave you the four areas. Mel says it's the he chose the impact of the new players and the draft picks. Is it the new quarterbacks? Is it the new coaches and schemes? Or is it the holes that we think they have, especially on defense and especially in the secondary? Those are the four areas. Pick one and give me. Got a lot of different opinions. Matter of fact, I think we've talked about every one of those so far. And what is the best thing you've seen and the worst thing you've seen from the Braves in the air quotes first half of the season here as they get ready to play their last game of the first half with Chris Sale on the mound today against the Padres? All ahead, live on Sports Radio 90 Time of the Game. Sports Radio 90 Time of the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. Sunday afternoon, counting down, all the countdowns going on. Boy, this is the first day of the week. You know, I know that some people think Monday is the first day of the week. You look on a calendar, it's obviously Sunday's the first day of the week, not the last day of the previous week. So this week, you'll have SEC Media Days beginning tomorrow. Kirby is in Dallas for the SEC Media Days on Tuesday. Tuesday going to be a big day because of the All-Star Game. Home Run Derby on Monday. MLB Draft tonight. SEC Media Days leading us to the British Open, leading us to the opening of more camps that'll happen. On Tuesday, there are going to be a lot more camps opening up, about half a dozen or so, that are going to have rookies report. Wednesday, the first full camp will open up. I mean, we got so much going on. This set against the fact that the Olympics are coming up, right? And you have the Falcons camp opening up on the 24th and the Olympics, which actually you'll see the promos for the 26th in 12 days. That's the opening ceremonies. But the games themselves actually start 2 days earlier, okay? There's going to be action 2 days before that in Paris because soccer games will be being played. So the Olympics themselves, while they technically aren't open until somebody lights the torch, there's already events that take place 2 days before the torch lighting. So don't get it confused when we say the Olympics are underway on the 24th. What do you mean? They haven't lit the torch yet. It's not like they have the parade and the athletes and they light the torch and then the games begin. No, they've already started. And they have to do that because of the calendar, because certain sports you need amount of rest in, right? You know, basketball, for example, or soccer, things of that nature. 404-726-0929, we go to Kagan, who joins us. Did I get that correct, Kagan? Is that correct?
You did, John. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
Hey, I just want to say, first off, today, I miss you from the morning show, man. I definitely enjoyed you and John, or you and Hugh in the morning. So,
I appreciate that. So what you got?
So I wanted to ask a slightly different question, if that's okay. I wanted to go to the Hawks.
Go ahead.
Hey, so I've been thinking about this for a while, and I can't say I'm a huge Hawks fan. I mean, I'm a Georgia grad. I've been a Falcons and Braves fan my entire life. The Hawks I've tried to get into, and I've just struggled. And what are your thoughts on, you know, after Kobe Bryant passed away, it kind of seemed, you know, he was the one, I guess, the NBA player or the veteran that Trey really latched on to the most. And I sometimes think kind of mimicked his game on the most, kind of his personality. And now with Kobe gone, it seems like Trey just is the villain, but isn't the backup that Kobe had. Doesn't really have that talent yet. And isn't everything that Kobe was. I don't think Trey was ever going to be that, because Kobe was a special player. But do you think that Trey just does not have someone in the league that he can really work with, talk to, give advice to, and trust enough to help him be able to navigate the NBA better?
I mean, it's an intriguing question. My question back to you is, why the hell would he need somebody like that? I didn't need somebody like that. I mean, if you need that's I don't know. I don't understand that, Kagan. I'm sorry, I don't. Why would he need somebody like that? Just go be yourself. If I was his dad, look, his dad, Kagan, his dad. Okay, Ray, Trey's dad, Ray, listens to the program. He listens to 99 of the game. He is no wallflower, okay? If Trey is listening to anybody, it's Ray, his dad. I'm
okay.
Just saying.
I mean, and again, that could be, you could be 100% right. I just, again, like I said, I think sometimes, especially these guys now, I think they do look for connections that are actively playing or more recent legends. And I mean, just like you and your father, mine and my father, sometimes, you know, your dad could be the best advice from anyone that you could get, but sometimes hearing it from someone else can be really beneficial.
There are people talking to him, but I mean, if you're relying on, you know, solely one voice in your life, I mean, you probably need to expand that a little bit, especially if that voice isn't related to you. I mean, because, you know, fallouts happen here. So, no, I mean, but he's his own player. Setting that aside here, because I have no way to answer your question. The big question is, will Trey even be on the team this year? Because, Kagan, we don't even know that yet. I mean, we don't. I assume he will, but they have not committed to him. And, matter of fact, they made a point of not committing to him a couple of days ago. Back on Wednesday, they very publicly not committed to him. And that left me with a lot of pause. I you know, where do we stand on this? There was a shout-out from Landry Fields, as we talked about, that wasn't heard by you or me, but it was certainly heard by other GMs around the league of, hey, he's available.
Oh, absolutely. So, I think Landry's handling of the situation has not been the best. I also think Landry's not in an untenable situation. I think this is partly why Travis is gone. They Landry got to step up into a role that maybe he's not pushing back as hard as he potentially should be. And it sounds like we're running the Hawks almost like a business where we're trying to take the best offers out there. We have no real vision, no direction. We use very big buzzwords that are more business centric than anything else. And we're not really running an NBA team, and the Hawks have no direction. And that's ultimately the biggest problem. Like you said, how can you not commit to your major star? You know, DeJounte's gone. You really don't have any other direction except for in Trey right now, unless you want to do a hard restart or rebuild, which, again, I think Dukes and Bell, you know, I think Bell said it. If you're going to do a hard reset, let's do it now. Why are we waiting? Let's not have a mediocre season or two and then Trey just leaves, because that is ultimately what's going to end up happening at some point.
I think they're trying to do a hard rebuild right now. I think that's evident. I mean, again, they made two trades, right? One was to trade A.J. Griffin, who Quinn Snyder has no belief in, obviously. He didn't play, 5 minutes last year, and traded back into the draft to get Yurchich. And the second trade was DeJounte Murray, who they traded for a bunch of bench guys and draft picks, correct? I mean, it wasn't like they traded DeJounte, and they haven't made any overtures yet in free agency at all. I mean, so they re-signed a couple of their own guys, Krejci and Gary Bird and Seth Lundy, but they didn't go out and get anybody. And so as a result, they're hard resetting and they're shopping Trey. That's obvious they're shopping Trey. That isn't the question. The question is, will they get in return? The problem the Hawks are having with Trey is twofold, okay? And it has nothing to do with his, you know, what you or me or anybody else perceives, Kagan, as his deficiencies on the defensive end of the ball, or whatever anybody perceives his personality to be in being compatible with other players. I mean, his players now on the Hawks seem to like him very much. So this whole thing of the false narratives that are out there here, what it has to do with is how much money he's making, which is over $40 million. And secondly, the fact that the Hawks value him so highly in terms of what they want to get in return that they're not willing to accept what other teams are offering in return to get him. And so they just haven't gotten an offer that they want. So my concern, Kagan, isn't that they want to do a hard rebuild. It's my concern is that they're going to be stuck not being able to do one because they want to go ahead and – because obviously they're trying to trade him, right? I mean, we all see that, right?
I think everybody's tradable, right? For the right price, everyone's tradable. Now, how realistic is that price or else versus, again, do you really want to trade them? I mean, again, everyone's tradable and every job out there, if they can go get someone better and cheaper, that's going to happen. No one is not susceptible to this. But at the same time, is that really what the Hawks want to do? Would they really risk completely alienating
the fans? Apparently, the answer to that is yes, Kagan. Yes, the answer to that is yes. Yes, the answer to that is yes. That's what they want to do.
Okay, it looks like that. I don't know. I just think sometimes Landry
can't. No. It doesn't look like that. It is Kagan. There's no looks like it. The general manager comes out on what? Did you hear the Landry Field cut on Wednesday?
I did. I listened on Duke and Bell. I heard it.
Yeah, I mean, you heard it. I played it. I played it yesterday again. We place a value on Trey the same that we place the value on DeJounte. Is Trey going to be on Channel 2? Allison says, is Trey going to be on this team? Well, yeah. We place a value on Trey the same way we place a value on DeJounte. And we got some hard choices to make coming up. What, you place a value on? Oh, you're trading him. Because the value you placed on DeJounte was what? Match his salary and give us draft picks. So the value you place on Trey is match his salary and give us draft picks. That's what he said. Hard choices coming up. In other words, it's going to be difficult. Get ready. Because all you have to do if you're keeping Trey at all, Kagan, there's no way that if you're keeping Trey, you don't look at Channel 2 and look right in the camera and go, hang on. Trey's not going nowhere, okay? He's not going nowhere. I walked you through this. If anybody were to dare ask Brian Snicker, forget about Snicker, let's go to Alex Anthopoulos, he's a GM. If you were to ask Alex Anthopoulos right now, today, in front of a camera, hey, are you going to trade Ronald Acuna Jr.? What does he say, Kagan?
Oh, absolutely not. Under no uncertain terms, okay. We can trade Ronald Acuna. Yeah.
Right, exactly. If you put a microphone and a camera in front of Terry Fontenot and said, hey, are you going to trade Bijan Robinson? What is he going to say?
Oh, absolutely not. Exactly.
Okay. Hey, there you go. There's your answer. They put it in front of the Hawks GM, and he went, I don't know. We've got hard choices to make. I don't know. It's not a hard answer, Kagan. You know what I mean?
You're okay. No, it's definitely a very valid point. I guess I will still come back to, you know, he just isn't. Landry Fields is not Terry Fontenot, or definitely not Alex Anthopoulos. And I'm not sure if he knew how he could answer that question, probably because he has to go back to the brain trust. Because again, they're very much in working together and having a lot of synergy at the Hawks. He has to go back to them. Okay, what are we going to do? I don't know. I wonder if, how much authority he really has. I agree with you. All the signs point to them trading Trey. I guess it's just, I'll believe it when I see it that they actually do it. or to your point, it may not be that, though they will, it's just they can't, or if they don't trade him, it's because they never got the offer they needed to be able to trade him.
Bingo.
And then we're
going to
be, we'll be stuck in this mediocrity of the 10th seed in the East for the next 3 years, something like that.
Well, two, and then it's a player option. Bingo. Yeah, I mean, they just haven't gotten the right offer. They get the right offer, they'll trade Trae Young. They said so. We place a value on Trae the way we place a value on DeJounte. In other words, that wasn't meant for your consumption, my consumption, the media's consumption, Trae's consumption. Everybody heard him. It was meant for the consumption of every general manager in the NBA out there. And they all sat around and said, hey, do we want Trae Young? And if so, how do we match up the salary and what do we offer him to get him? And they've gotten a couple of offers. I guarantee you they've gotten a couple of offers that just weren't good enough. And they went, all right, yeah, but that's just not good enough. Because they do want, they may be overvaluing Trae. That's possible. But at this point, you put Trae on notice that you're shopping him, and you did not back him up. And what does that say? And appreciate the call, Keegan. I got to get to a break here. Just take this in mind. What does that say if you're Trae Young? How do you handle this? Your team, your general manager was asked directly on camera, hey, is Trae going to be on the team? And you hemmed and hawed and said you're going to have to make hard choices. If you're Trae, are you saying, oh, hell with this? Hell with this? Because wouldn't you, if somebody came to your boss and said, hey, what about Bob and his job security here with the, well, you know, I mean, we kind of value Bob, but, you know, we got hard choices to make. What are you going to say? Whoa, what? Hang on. Hello, wait. No, we love Bob. Bob's not going nowhere. What are you talking about? That's not what they said. And somebody said, well, why would you send Landry Fields out if he doesn't know the answer to a question that he knows he's going to get about the security of Trae Young? Well, he did know the answer. No, he knew the answer to the security about Trae Young. He went out there so that he could give that answer because he wanted other general managers to hear it. That was the intention. Top of the hour at 1 o'clock today, Harper LaBelle, my court and crime on the way, Ford Show, former Falcon, is going to tell us what he thinks of the question we have about the Falcons. It's the biggest thing you're watching for in camp and preseason for the Atlanta Falcons. All ahead on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. Sunday afternoon, counting down, all the countdowns going on. Boy, this is the first day of the week. You know, I know that some people think Monday is the first day of the week. You look on a calendar, it's obviously Sunday's the first day of the week, not the last day of the previous week. So this week, you'll have SEC Media Days beginning tomorrow. Kirby is in Dallas for the SEC Media Days on Tuesday. Tuesday going to be a big day because of the All-Star Game. Home Run Derby on Monday. MLB Draft tonight. SEC Media Days leading us to the British Open, leading us to the opening of more camps that'll happen. On Tuesday, there are going to be a lot more camps opening up, about half a dozen or so, that are going to have rookies report. Wednesday, the first full camp will open up. I mean, we got so much going on. This set against the fact that the Olympics are coming up, right? And you have the Falcons camp opening up on the 24th and the Olympics, which actually you'll see the promos for the 26th in 12 days. That's the opening ceremonies. But the games themselves actually start 2 days earlier, okay? There's going to be action 2 days before that in Paris because soccer games will be being played. So the Olympics themselves, while they technically aren't open until somebody lights the torch, there's already events that take place 2 days before the torch lighting. So don't get it confused when we say the Olympics are underway on the 24th. What do you mean? They haven't lit the torch yet. It's not like they have the parade and the athletes and they light the torch and then the games begin. No, they've already started. And they have to do that because of the calendar, because certain sports you need amount of rest in, right? You know, basketball, for example, or soccer, or things of that nature. 404-726-0929, we go to Kagan, who joins us. Did I get that correct, Kagan? Is that correct?
You did, John. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
Hey, I just want to say, first off, say I miss you from the morning show, man. I definitely enjoyed you and Hugh in the morning. So,
I appreciate that. So, what you got?
So I I wanted to ask a slightly different question, if that's okay. I wanted to go to the Hawks.
Go ahead.
Hey, so I've been thinking about this for a while, and I can't say I'm a huge Hawks fan. I mean, I'm a Georgia grad. I've been a Falcons and Braves fan my entire life. The Hawks I've tried to get into, and I've just struggled. And what are your thoughts on, you know, after Kobe Bryant passed away, it kind of seemed, you know, he was the one, I guess, the NBA player or the veteran that Trey really latched on to the most. And I sometimes think kind of mimicked his game on the most, kind of his personality. And now with Kobe gone, it seems like Trey just is the villain, but isn't the backup that Kobe had. Doesn't really have that talent yet and isn't everything that Kobe was. I don't think Trey was ever going to be that because Kobe was a special player. But do you think that Trey just does not have someone in the league that he can really work with, talk to, give advice to, and trust enough to help him be able to navigate the NBA better?
I mean, it's an intriguing question. My question back to you is, why the hell would he need somebody like that? I didn't need somebody like that. I mean, if you need that, that's I don't know. I don't understand that, Kagan. I'm sorry, I don't. Why would he need somebody like that? Just go be yourself. If I was his dad, his dad, Kagan, his dad. Okay, Ray, Trey's dad, Ray, listens to the program. He listens to the 9-10 of the game. He is no wallflower. Okay. If Trey is listening to anybody, it's Ray, his dad.
I'm okay. Just saying. I mean, and again, that could be 100% right. I just, like I said, I think sometimes, especially these guys now, I think they do look for connections that are actively playing or more recent legends. And I mean, just like you and your father, mine and my father, sometimes, you know, your dad could be the best advice from anyone that you could get. But sometimes hearing it from someone else can be really beneficial. And
there are people talking to him. But I mean, if you're relying on, you know, solely one voice in your life, I mean, you probably need to expand that a little bit, especially if that voice isn't related to you. I mean, because, you know, fallouts happen here. So, no, I mean, but he's his own player. Setting that aside here, because I have no way to answer your question. The big question is, will Trey even be on the team this year? Because, Kagan, we don't even know that yet. I mean, we don't. I assume he will, but they have not committed to him. And they, matter of fact, they made a point of not committing to him a couple of days ago. Back on Wednesday, they very publicly not committed to him. And that left me with a lot of pause. You know, where do we stand on this? There was a shout out from Landry Fields, as we talked about, that wasn't heard by you or me, but it was certainly heard by other GMs around the league of, hey, he's available.
Oh, absolutely. So, I think Landry's handling of the situation has not been the best. I also think Landry's not in an untenable situation. I think this is partly why Travis is gone. They, Landry got to step up into a role that maybe he's not pushing back as hard as he potentially should be. And it sounds like we're running the Hawks almost like a business where we're trying to take the best offers out there. We have no real vision, no direction. We use very big buzzwords that are more business centric than anything else. And we're not really running an NBA team, and the Hawks have no direction. And that's ultimately the biggest problem. Like you said, how can you not commit to your major star? You know, DeJounte's gone. You really don't have any other direction except for in Trey right now, unless you want to do a hard restart or rebuild, which, again, I think Dukes and Bell, you know, I think Bell said it. If you're going to do a hard reset, let's do it now. Why are we waiting? Let's not have a mediocre season or two and then Trey just leaves, because that's ultimately what's going to end up happening at some point.
I think they're trying to do a hard rebuild right now. I think that's evident. I mean, again, they made two trades, right? One was to trade A.J. Griffin, who Quinn Snyder has no belief in, obviously. He didn't play, 5 minutes last year, and traded back into the draft to get Juricic. And the second trade was DeJounte Murray, who they traded for a bunch of bench guys and draft picks, correct? I mean, it wasn't like they traded DeJounte, and they haven't made any overtures yet in free agency at all. I mean, so they re-signed a couple of their own guys, Krejci and Gary Bird and Seth Lundy, but they didn't go out and get anybody. And so as a result, they're hard resetting and they're shopping Trey. That's obvious they're shopping Trey. That isn't the question. The question is, will they get in return? The problem the Hawks are having with Trey is twofold, okay? And it has nothing to do with his, you know, what you or me or anybody else perceives, Kagan, as his deficiencies on the defensive end of the ball, or whatever anybody perceives his personality to be in being compatible with other players. I mean, his players now on the Hawks seem to like him very much. So this whole thing of the false narratives that are out there here, what it has to do with is how much money he's making, which is over $40 million. And secondly, the fact that the Hawks value him so highly in terms of what they want to get in return that they're not willing to accept what other teams are offering in return to get him. And so they just haven't gotten an offer that they want. So my concern, Kagan, isn't that they want to do a hard rebuild. It's my concern is that they're going to be stuck not being able to do one because they want to go ahead and – because obviously they're trying to trade him, right? I mean, we all see that, right?
I think everybody's tradable, right? For the right price, everyone's tradable. Now, how realistic is that price versus, again, do you really want to trade them? I mean, again, everyone's tradable and every job out there, if they can go get someone better and cheaper, that's going to happen. No one is not susceptible to this. But at the same time, is that really what the Hawks want to do? Would they really risk completely alienating
the fans? Apparently, the answer to that is yes, Kagan. Yes, the answer to that is yes. Yes, the answer to that is yes. That's what they want to do.
Okay, it looks like that. I don't know. I just think sometimes Landry can't answer the
question. No. It doesn't look like that. It is Kagan. There's no looks like it. The general manager comes out on. Did you hear the Landry Field cut on Wednesday?
I did. I listened on Duke and Bell. I heard it.
Yeah, I mean, you heard it. I played it. I played it yesterday again. We place a value on Trey the same that we place the value on DeJounte. Is Trey going to be on Channel 2? Allison says, is Trey going to be on this team? Well, yeah. We place a value on Trey the same way we place a value on DeJounte. And we got some hard choices to make coming up. What, you place a value on? Oh, you're trading him. Because the value you placed on DeJounte was what? Match his salary and give us draft picks. So the value you place on Trey is match his salary and give us draft picks. That's what he said. Hard choices coming up. In other words, it's going to be difficult. Get ready. Because all you have to do if you're keeping Trey at all, Kagan, there's no way that if you're keeping Trey, you don't look at Channel 2 and look right in the camera and go, hang on. Trey's not going nowhere, okay? He's not going nowhere. I walked you through this. If anybody were to dare ask Brian Snicker, forget about Snicker, let's go to Alex Anthopoulos, he's a GM. If you were to ask Alex Anthopoulos right now, today, in front of a camera, hey, are you going to trade Ronald Acuna Jr.? What does he say, Kagan?
Oh, absolutely not. Under no certain terms, okay. We can trade Ronald Acuna. Yeah.
Right, exactly. If you put a microphone and a camera in front of Terry Fontenot and said, hey, are you going to trade Bijan Robinson? What is he going to say?
Oh, absolutely not. Exactly.
Okay. There you go. There's your answer. They put it in front of the Hawks GM, and he went, I don't know. We've got hard choices to make. I don't know. It's not a hard answer, Kagan. But you know what I mean?
You're okay. No, it's definitely a very valid point. I guess I will still come back to, you know, Landry Fields is not Terry Fontenot, or definitely not Alex Anthopoulos. And I'm not sure if he knew how he could answer that question, probably because he has to go back to the brain trust. Because, again, they're very much in working together and having a lot of synergy at the Hawks. He has to go back to them and, okay, what are we going to do? I don't know. I wonder how much authority he really has. I agree with you. All the signs point to them trading Trey. I guess it's just I'll believe it when I see it that they actually do it. Or to your point, it may not be that though they will, it's just they can't, or if they don't trade them, it's because they never got the offer they needed to be able to trade them.
Bingo.
And then we'll be stuck in this mediocrity of the 10th seed in the East for the next 3 years, something like that.
Well, and then it's a player option. Bingo. Yeah, I mean, they just haven't gotten the right offer. They get the right offer, they'll trade Trae Young. They said so. We place a value on Trey the way we place a value on DeJounte. In other words, that wasn't meant for your consumption, my consumption, the media's consumption, Trey's consumption. Everybody heard him. It was meant for the consumption of every general manager in the NBA out there. And they all sat around and said, hey, do we want Trae Young? And if so, how do we match up the salary and what do we offer him to get him? And they've gotten a couple of offers. I guarantee you they've gotten a couple of offers that just weren't good enough. And they went, all right, yeah, but that's just not good enough. Because they do want, they may be overvaluing Trae. That's possible. But at this point, you put Trae on notice that you're shopping him, and you did not back him up. And what does that say? And appreciate the call, Keegan. I got to get to a break here. Just take this in mind. What does that say if you're Trae Young? How do you handle this? Your team, your general manager was asked directly on camera, hey, is Trae going to be on the team? And you hemmed and hawed and said you're going to have to make hard choices. If you're Trae, are you saying, oh, hell with this? Hell with this? Because wouldn't you, if somebody came to your boss and said, what about Bob and his job security here with the, well, you know, I mean, we kind of value Bob, but, you know, we got hard choices to make. What are you going to say? Whoa, what? Hang on. Hello, wait. No, we love Bob. Bob's not going nowhere. What are you talking about? That's not what they said. And somebody said, well, why would you send Landry Fields out if he doesn't know the answer to a question that he knows he's going to get about the security of Trae Young? Well, he did know the answer. No, he knew the answer to the security about Trae Young. He went out there so that he could give that answer because he wanted other general managers to hear it. That was the intention. Top of the hour at 1 o'clock today, Harper LaBelle, my court and crime on the way forward show, former Falcon, is going to tell us what he thinks of the question we have about the Falcons. It's the biggest thing you're watching for in camp and preseason for the Atlanta Falcons. All ahead on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.